The book of Daniel. Will you turn with me to the book of Daniel? The third chapter of the book of Daniel. I shared with you over the years how I always believed that God was going to use me in the life of other pastors. And, you know, I've wondered when that would happen. And lo and behold, it's really been happening for the past couple of years. And I didn't even realize it. But God has been, lately it's even increased. And I've had the privilege and had the privilege of being down in Florida this past week and got to spend some good quality time with my mom, which she just really loved, being able to have one-on-one time with me. And so got to do that and do some things for her that she needed to get done. And then got to spend some time with some pastors while I was down there and some church things. And God really, it's so good, the things that God's doing. And got to sit and encourage a pastor and really speak the word into his life. And so I just thank God for the moments and the opportunities that we have to speak into each other's lives. Amen. That we can encourage one another. That we can help strengthen one another. We love on each other. And our prayer truly is, you know, when Pastor George said this morning that you would not leave here disappointed. Our prayer is every time you enter these doors that you just don't come to be entertained, you know, but that you have an encounter. One way or another, you have an encounter with the risen Savior. And that you receive his words. Because any time, you know, whether it's me or Pastor George or Pastor Nathan or whoever else it may be ever at this church speaking, you know, we pray and we seek the heart of God and we study his word, and we really believe that he's speaking that message through us to you to bring something to you that may be lacking. And I pray that you see it that way. And I hope that every time you enter these doors, you come expecting to hear from God. It may be my voice, George's voice, Nathan's voice, or somebody else's voice. But really, we're just representing the voice of God. And I hope you know that. I hope you believe that this morning. If you take notes, I want you to write these three things down. The test of faith. The test of faith. The demonstration of faith. The test of faith, the demonstration of faith, and the third one would be the vindication of faith. The test of faith, the demonstration of faith, and the vindication of faith. Probably about 1:30 in the morning on Friday night, I was just, you know, just talking to God and thinking about things, and I was talking to him based on a situation that I had been talking to somebody about earlier in that day. And the Lord said to me, they say they believe, but they don't really believe. And then this thought came to my mind. We say we believe, but we don't really believe. What we believe is that if we say we believe, do you know there's a difference between believing and saying you believe? Do you know there's a difference? You can say anything you want to say, but it doesn't mean... Let me just ask you this question. How many of you have ever said something you didn't mean? Come on now, you're in the house of God. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts before you even speak them. So let me ask again. How many of you ever said something you didn't believe? Every man in this place has said it. Every man. How's this look, honey? Oh, that looks great. When you're 17 years old, 16, whatever it is, and you go on your first date, you're saying a lot of stuff you don't mean. Don't act like you all got a little halo over your head. I see the horns poking up. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. You're so beautiful. Meanwhile, you're thinking, I ain't ever taking her out again, but I sure hope I have a good time tonight. You go into a job interview, and the man who owns the business says, do you know how to do that? Oh, yeah, I know how to do that. And then you hire the person, you realize they're lucky they can even tie their shoes, let alone do what they said they could do. How many people have ever told you everything they could do, and then you found out they couldn't do none of it? What's that? You hear it every week. I bet you do. I bet you do. We say we believe, Karen. But I think what the Lord was saying to me was, we somehow convinced ourselves that if we, like, say it enough, positive thing, the power of positive thinking, like if I think on it long enough, I can move it. If I say it enough, just maybe it will happen. No, believing is believing. That's why Jesus said faith comes by, which means understanding. Because see, hearing and hearing alone does not bring faith. You hear a lot of stuff, but if you don't understand what you hear, it's meaningless to you. But when you understand, so you can hear he's a healing Jesus all you want, and you may not have ever needed healing, but at the moment he raises you from the dead, you believe in healing. Come on. But sometimes I think we just believe if we say something enough that it might just happen. It's not that we really believe it. But the scripture says if we have faith of a grain of mustard seed, which a Middle Eastern mustard seed, from what they told me when I was in the Middle East, it is so tiny you can put it in your hand and not you'd have to really look for it in your hand. It's that small. As a matter of fact, our tour guide told us that if it were in your eye, you might not even know it was in there. Now, that's pretty tiny. How many of you have ever gotten something in your eye before? It don't have to be very big to feel like a telephone pole. You know what I'm saying? Get a little piece of salt in your eye. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, he says, you can speak to a mountain. Now, I don't think I have to enlighten you today that that's pretty small. I don't think I have to continue to elaborate on the fact of how small the grain of mustard seed is. Oh, but Ken, if I just had enough faith. Well, boy, if you ain't got the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that's not much. As a matter of fact, it's pretty little. And he said, if you got that much, imagine if you had this much. If you had that much and you could speak to a mountain and that mountain would jump out of its place and move. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? But that's the words of Jesus. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, faith, things we don't see, but yet we believe. Because the Lord has promised or spoken something to us. In Daniel chapter 3, we see a king, a very powerful king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you are glad your parents didn't name you Nebuchadnezzar? I mean, we hear some pretty odd names today in this world. But could you imagine being named Nebuchadnezzar, having to go to kindergarten and learning how to spell that first name? What's your name? Nebuchadnezzar? You know, as a little kid, he couldn't even pronounce it. King Nebuchadnezzar, he made this image of himself because Nebuchadnezzar, are you ready for this? He was full of himself. Well, I better tell you all over here because they didn't get that. He was full of himself. Have you ever been full of yourself? Have you ever? I said to my wife the other day, I said, I got to do something. I can't even suck it in anymore. You know when you can't suck it in anymore, you got to do something. We puff out our chests. We're prideful. We're boastful. Look at me. Look at what I can do. Look what I've accomplished. Nebuchadnezzar, he was power hungry. He was prideful. He was arrogant. I can promise you, if you ever pull into the parking lot at Harvest and you find a 90 feet high, 9 foot wide statue of moi. Just keep on going. Do not pull in the parking lot. Listen, I know my place. I know my place in order. I know who I am in Him. I don't need my name on a sign. It's not out there. I don't need a statue. Because the name that is proclaimed is the name of our God. Amen? And Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride and in his arrogance and his being puffed up and in and of himself, he wanted to be worshipped. People today want to be worshipped, different levels and different degrees of it. We all like it when people compliment us. We all like it when people build us up and boast on our talents or our gifts or our abilities. It makes us feel good. I was at lunch with a pastor in Florida the other day, and he said to me, he said, I don't want to be put on a pedestal. He said, because the same people that will put you on it will knock you off it faster than they put you on it. And hard is the fall. And I said, yeah, but that has to start. You gotta build that from the beginning. It can't be about you. How many times have you ever heard me talk about Harvest is not about me? It's not whether I preach the sermon to George or Nathan or whoever else. It's about God. It's about God's word. He is our foundation. Amen? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are our pillars. And the word of God, which was from the beginning, is our sure foundation. And when you build on that, you build on a personality. You build on a 90-foot statue. You build on things. You build on talents. You build on abilities. Those things all wane. They all fail. They all go away, and they all disappoint. But when you build on the solid rock of Christ Jesus, when He becomes the refuge and the strength, the ever-present help in the time of trouble, now you've got something. Now you've got something. We see musicians today who build themselves up to the point where people can't talk to them, can't get near them. You know, famous actors and actresses. And even in ministry, Bill, I know churches where the pastor, you can't get to him. You can't get to him. He's hired four or five others to take your phone calls and visit you because you can't get to him. He's reached a level of non-relationships. He sneaks in Ken's side door, and in his most reverent voice, he declares the goodness and the grace of God, and marvels with the mastery of the word. To those that hear his voice are amazed at the gifting and the talents that he has. He's so spiritual, he does not come on the platform until it's time. There are ministries where they rise out of the floor. Could you imagine that? Where's Pastor Sean? Is he here today? And then the music ends and I up out of the floor. Why do we need that? I know of a pastor in Texas. I don't even have a pastor sign for parking. Pastor only. People even park in my own parking lot, my house. I don't have a pastor only sign. I know of a pastor in Texas, George. He cannot enter into the doors of the church with the common. He has a delivery door where he pulls in his Mercedes or his BMW, whichever car he's driving that week. And the elevator guy, because he doesn't get out of the car, the elevator guy presses the button, and the elevator goes right to his office. Opens up the door, he walks out and gets in his office. And his car is right there. Now, am I telling you that wouldn't be incredibly cool? That would be incredibly cool. I personally would settle for a tunnel from here to my house. But, just saying, that would be incredibly cool. Could you imagine having a secret tunnel that went back to the house? That would be amazing. I would probably hang out in that tunnel. Could you imagine? Cannot enter the doors with the common folk. Pride. Arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar type spirit. Got to worship me. Oh, look. Look who it is. Oh. Scripture says that when Jesus would be born, there would be no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. In other words, he wasn't like standing out over anyone else. In other words, he wasn't the most gorgeous looking man that ever walked the planet. He fit in like everybody else, Dan. He looked like everybody else of the day for the most part. We become prideful. We become arrogant. We become self-centered. Nebuchadnezzar was there. He calls all of the leaders of the area. And you see that in the beginning verses here, 1 through 3 and 4. And he brings them all together and he says, listen, when the music starts to play, everybody bow down and worship the golden image of moi. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a difference of opinion than someone else? Have you ever been in a situation where everybody seemed to have an opinion and you just didn't seem like that's just not right? Well, there were these three guys. There was this Meshach, this Shadrach, and an something about a bungalow. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, these three guys. And they knew the living God. They knew the living God. Say they knew. Because there's a difference of hearing about someone and knowing someone. They knew the living God. And so when everyone else was bowing down to worship the image that was set up before them, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego would not do it. And some religious leaders of the day, they went and they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, these guys that you've put in places and positions of authority, they're not obeying your authority. They're denying what it is that you have instructed and commanded of them to do. We see recorded in this third chapter an incredible amount of trust and faith in their God. They didn't doubt the power of their God. And we're going to see that in just a few seconds. They didn't doubt that their faith in God would bring victory to them. They trusted in God in spite of and regardless of the pressures of the hour. And we all face moments of stress and pressure and fear and anxiety that come our way. But then we have to cast those thoughts down and know that God is greater than those things. And we then begin to call on his name and put our trust in his word and the things that he has said. And these three young men, in their refusal to obey the decree of the king to bow down and worship him, they then were accused and charges brought against them. They paid no heed to what the king said. They did not serve the image of gold that was put in front of them. They refuse to worship it. And the penalty of that action was not a slap on the wrist. It was not to miss a meal. They didn't get their car keys taken away from them. You said, I didn't think cars were back in Bible times. You didn't know? They were building Hondas back then. The Bible said they were all in one accord. Now, some of you get that later. Oh, geez, don't boo me. The penalty of their action was death. The penalty of their refusal to worship Nebuchadnezzar was death. Their response to what the king said was profound. And it's profound even for us here today. Because here we are all these years later, and we still learn the stories. You know, this isn't just a Sunday school story. It's not just a vacation Bible school story, which they're great in those. It's not just a children's story. This is a powerful story, and there are many, many, many. As a matter of fact, there are so many lessons to be learned through this story of these three young men that it could take 6 months probably on a Sunday morning to preach it. There are many different things that can be taken and many different things that can be learned through it. But their response to the king was beyond profound. They said in Daniel 3, verse 15 through 18. Daniel 3, verse 15 through 18. We're going to come in and zero in on here. They reply, O Nebuchadnezzar, because he approaches them and says, hey, listen, somebody said you guys didn't bow down. I know that's probably not true. Because when we think we reach a certain status, everybody's going to do what we want them to do. And when they don't, we get upset. Right? Prideful, arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar says, now I know this probably ain't true, but you got, and they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves. I'm reading this out of the NIV, New International Version. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. Boy, I bet that angered him. Boy, I bet that made him mad. Because he's telling everyone to bow down and worship him. He's feeling real good about himself. You know, there are many things in the world that feel real good about themselves, but there are a lot of things that, and there are some things that as a follower of Jesus, one who does what the teacher does, if you are my disciple, you will do what I say. And so there's a lot of things in the world today as a disciple of Jesus. It's not because I think I'm better. It's not because I, you know, think I'm so spiritual. It's because if I'm really his disciple, there just are certain things that I shouldn't do. And neither should you. Neither should you. See, it's not about, oh, the pastor can sacrifice everything. We can come and just listen and then go do whatever we want. No, Jesus said, if you are my disciples, then you will do what I say, right? Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride and arrogance, he wanted them to worship him. He wanted them to follow him. They could not do it because they knew the one true God. And they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. Well, you talk about a confidence. You talk about an assuredness. You talk about a trust. They said, listen, we don't need to defend ourselves to you. And if we get thrown into that furnace that you're threatening and you're going to throw us into, our God is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand. And then listen to what they say here. O king, but even if he doesn't, now that's some kind of trust, huh? It's easy to trust when you know the outcome. But how about if you aren't sure of the outcome? See, in their willingness and desire to follow God instead of man, which the word says it's better to follow God than it is to follow man, When we put our confidence and our trust in the one who is and was and is to be, when we put our confidence and our trust in him, he will protect us. But they said, even if we die in that furnace. See, it didn't matter to them whether they lived or they died. It didn't matter to them. They didn't care. Paul said something like that one day, didn't he? Basically, in today's language, he said, to live is good, but to die is gain. Because this isn't all there is. They had a glimpse of that. But even if he does not, this is what they said to him. You can throw us in there, and he can deliver us from it. But if he chooses not to, we want you to know this. That's what they said to him. Have you ever compromised? Have you ever compromised something that you held to be true in your life? But in the midst of a hard place or in the midst of peer pressure or whatever it was, you compromised. Did you ever do something that you ever thought you wouldn't do, but because of pressure, because of peer pressure, you did it? Sorry, it's just a baby. He's good. He's rejoicing because of his grandpap. He said, King, we want you to know. We want you to know that we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship this golden image that you have set up. Then, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious. Have you ever been furious? Well, I'm sure you have. He was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them had changed. His attitude toward them changed. Has your attitude toward somebody ever changed? Because maybe they didn't do or think the way you wanted them to. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual. He wanted to kill them and kill them quick. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. Verse 21. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot, the flames were so strong, the fire killed the soldiers that took them up to throw them in. So it was so hot that have you ever touched something that was so, it'll burn you in a, just, you don't have to touch something hot for very long before it'll burn you. I mean, you just graze it and it'll burn you. Anybody ever do it? Women, curling iron? We've seen some of that. You know, you come in, try to cover it up with makeup, but you got that big thing on the side of your face. Y'all thinking nobody ever, we know. We know, we're thinking, ooh. Got a little brown makeup on there or whatever, a little tan stuff on there to cover it up. But inside, us guys, we're like, ooh, that had to hurt. It burned you quick. This fire was so hot that the very soldiers that walked up to throw these men in, they fell over dead. Verse number 23. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw in? I want to tell you something. In the midst of amazement, you'll wonder what's happening. He knew how many he threw in there. But he was so baffled at what was happening, he said, wait a minute. How many did we throw in there? It wasn't just the three, because something supernatural had happened. They replied, certainly, yes, there were three of them. Nebuchadnezzar responds, he said, look, I see four men walking around. Now remember, they were bound tightly. They were thrown into the fire, bound tightly. They no longer are bound tightly in the fire, but they are walking around in the fire, unburned, unharmed. And he says the fourth one looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here, come out here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And all those that were around, all those that had witnessed this, were in absolute amazement, because these three young Hebrew boys who said, "We will not deny our God." In the days we live in today, it's not always the easiest thing for some to stand up for God, to stand for their belief in Jesus, to openly live and profess their faith in Christ. It shouldn't be hard, but for some it is, because they've not fully given themselves over to God to where they trust and believe He can deliver me from. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to do what you want us to do. We're not going to sin, because our God said we should not worship any other images. They took a stand for their faith. They took a stand for that which they believed in, and they were not willing to turn from that. Verse 28, they did not smell like fire. They weren't burned. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar says, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses to be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The fear in not doing what others want is what will happen to us. The fear in not going along with the crowd causes us at times to do things that we know we shouldn't do, live ways that we know we shouldn't live. But when we, as these three Hebrew boys did, put their trust and their confidence in the one that was higher than man, putting their trust and their confidence in believing that if their God was for them, that He could rescue them out, and even if He didn't, they would end up with Him anyway. So you and I have to understand in this life, we win. Look at somebody and say, "We win." Whether we live or whether we die, we win. We win. Because we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. We all like the living part, right? We don't like the dying part. It's been an old song, everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be born and a time to die. We love one, we throw parties for that one, we buy presents for it. The other one we don't like so much. But yet it is the other one. It is the other one that is the fulfillment of our salvation. And experiencing His grace and His mercy in eternity with Him. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. That sounds like a great place, doesn't it? But we don't want to go there. Because I think sometimes, Missy, we say we believe, but Crystal, sometimes I think we're just trying to convince ourselves. Cheryl, sometimes I really think sometimes we're just trying to convince ourselves that we believe. Do you know how I know that? I know that by how we fall apart when we see the fiery furnace. I know that by how we fall apart when the storm comes. The disciples even said, don't you care? Don't you care we're going to drown? He already told them we're going to go to the other side. And the storm came and they said, don't you care? Yeah, he cares. He absolutely cares. He already told you you're going to the other side. But when we see the furnace, when the heat gets turned up, how many of you have ever had the heat turned up in your life? The bills are mounting up. The sickness. Maybe the report of the disease. Maybe the problem with the husband or the wife. Maybe the problem with the kids. Maybe the disappointment that happened at the job or the workplace. Maybe that person that left you down. Maybe the one who walked out on you. Maybe the one who left you. Maybe the one who abused you. Maybe the one who abandoned you. Maybe the one who hurt you. Sometimes the heat gets turned up, doesn't it? But our confidence and our trust has to be that if our God be for us, then who can be against us? And here it is, church. We either believe it or we don't. We either trust him at his word or we don't. We can't pick and choose what we believe and what we don't. We've got to trust him at what he says. Because God don't lie. The Bible tells us that. You know why I don't lie? Because he's not a man. Which the indication there is, Jerry, that men lie. God doesn't lie. He's God. And he's the one who said, there's none like me. There's no other. So don't go worship an image. Don't go pray into things. It's me you need. And if you get to me, I will protect you. And here's part of the protection. Nate, even if we perish in this life, we're with him. We didn't lose. We didn't lose. We ultimately won the greatest victory of any battle. But we like to remain here for a while, don't we? We got things to do. I don't want to go yet. I don't. I don't want to die yet. Because, Ron, there's a lot of things I want to do yet. I mean, I want to go to heaven. But, man, there's some things I want to do yet here in this life. There's some things I want to do, Nate, for the kingdom. There's some things I really want to do for the kingdom that I haven't done yet. I'd like to see my grandson when he takes his first girl to a dance or something, you know? I'd like to see that day. Oh, boy, we thought you were more spiritual than that. I'd like the chance to hold a granddaughter someday, people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'd like someday to hold a granddaughter in my arms. I'd like to do that, you know? But I know that if that day comes, I'm just going to be with him. And you know what? The truth is, Denny, it'll be better. It'll be better. Because nothing here can compare with what is there. And that's pretty much the faith that these three showed us. It's pretty much the confidence that they showed us as they put their trust and their belief and their hope that regardless of what happened to them, they are all right. And you need to know that today. And I pray that you can leave here today. Worship team, you guys can come back up to the platform as we close our service with our final song this morning. You need to know today. You need to understand today. It's going to be all right. Look at somebody and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Don't just say it, but believe it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Because if you are a child of God, if you are a child of God, if you are a child of God, it's going to be all right. going to be all right. How about it, Pap? It's going to be all right, right? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you again for this time spent together this morning. I thank you for our family and friends that are here today as we gather together to celebrate one another, to celebrate you, the precious gift of life that you have given us, to encourage one another, to be a hand of support to one another today, to share your word and encourage and strengthen one another today. Father, I pray today that we will not leave this place disappointed, but we'll be able to go out of here today knowing that we have encountered you, that we've worshiped you, we've blessed your heart through our praise and our worship. You have ministered to us through your word, your spoken word, delivered to us today to build our confidence and to build our strength, to build our faith. And I pray today those things will have been accomplished. That when we leave here today, we'll be stronger than we came in. When we leave here today, we'll have more hope than we came in with today. Because we'll know and understand that thou art our refuge and our strength. Thou art our ever-present help in a time of trouble. You never leave us, nor do you ever forsake us. And through the storm, you walk with us. And in the fire, you are with us. You've promised us that. To the point where they didn't even smell like smoke. We're not even singed. You are a good, good Father. Your mercy endureth forever. And your mercies are new every day. Help us as your people. Help us as your children to walk in your grace, to walk in your forgiveness, to walk in your mercy, to walk clothed and embraced in your love. And every day, Father, be an example of your goodness and your grace to those that we come in contact with, that others may see us, but they may know you because of the way we live our lives. Let our light so shine before men that they would glorify the name of our God. We give you praise. Now I ask, Father, that you strengthen each and every one that hears these words today, whether it be live here in sanctuary or through the internet. God, that you will bless each one's coming and going, our rising and our sitting. Bless the labor of our hands. Bless the words of our mouth, the thoughts in our mind. And may your praise be continually upon our lips. I pray grace and strength and mercy and peace in the hearts of your children. I pray every good and perfect gift would be bestowed upon them. And I pray this week will be a good week, a great week, of the miracle-working power of you in our lives. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. And to you be all the praise. In the mighty, precious name of our Savior, amen.